In the name of Jesus, amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Enjoying a calm, peaceful Christmas dinner with your family gathered around you. A person might say, this is the life. Sitting on a beach, sipping a margarita, a person might say, this is the life. Taking a snowmobile ride across miles of trails or skiing down a hillside on a sunny winter day, catching bass on a calm lake, or playing a leisurely game of golf. A person might say, this is the life. And in saying that, the person is giving a sigh of contentment to say, here and now, this is contentment and happiness. A break from the stresses and strains of having to work and earn money and provide a living for myself, for those around me. This is the life. But then vacation ends, and you have to go back. Perhaps back to the daily life that isn't so relaxing. A daily life that involves work and stress and strain. If only that life could last just a little bit longer. The things of this world give us a passing, fleeting happiness. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They don't last. They don't give us real and lasting life that lasts forever. But in our gospel reading, we hear that Jesus, the Word made flesh, we hear that of him, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Christ, the Son of God, is life. This is where we have it, where our life is to be found. But how can this be? We'll look back at the beginning of our gospel reading. There we hear, at the beginning of the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, at the beginning of all things, the beginning of all creation, there was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. The God-man, Jesus Christ, did not entirely come into being in the incarnation. The second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ, was there before all things. He was never created, he was never made. He has always existed. He's always been begotten of the Father before all worlds. He is eternal. He is forever. He has no beginning and no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who gives life, who creates life. Here at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we hear that nothing was made without him. Through him, all things were made. Nothing in this world has its existence apart from that second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. We are all here through him. This is why we can have life, is through him. And so our very lives, the facts that our hearts are beating right now, that we breathe, that blood courses through our veins, all of that, we can give thanks to the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, that we are here, that we have been created. But if he is the one who gives life, then why is there death? Well, we know that that's because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, the fall into sin. And we know that this second person of the Trinity came in order that we might then have new life. We were given life, we were created. And then we were reborn in the waters of holy baptism. And we heard about this especially in our epistle reading for today, when it says that he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. We were given in our baptism a regeneration. That means a rebirth, a birth again, and a renewal. We were made new again. That happened to us. And we were given that, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. And we hear that all of that happened through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth to live a perfect life in our place and then suffer and die in our place on the cross, because of that, baptism works. Because of that, your baptism gave you new life. Because of that, you were buried with Christ in your baptism. You were buried with Jesus, joined with Him, and you died to sin. Because Jesus had paid for your sins already on the cross 2,000 years ago. And that payment that He gave on the cross 2,000 years ago, far away from here, was delivered to your doorstep. Delivered to you, applied to you, so that you were washed in the blood that He shed on Calvary. Through Jesus, you had that washing of regeneration, of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So in Him is life, not only because you were created and you have the life, the physical life that you have, but in Him was life and still is life because He gave you a new birth. That you are a new creature in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. But this new life that our Lord gave, it needs to be sustained. Our Lord continues to sustain it by His grace and His mercy. Because without our Lord, we will die. Apart from Him, we cannot live. He is the vine, we are the branches. And you know that any branch that is cut off from a tree wilts and dies. And those who are cut off from Christ, who do not want His gifts, His word, His sacraments, they will die. Who despise them, who reject them. In Him was life, and the life, and the life was the light of men. Life came through Jesus Christ at creation. Life came to you through Jesus Christ at your baptism, and life still comes to you as He sustains you. Now, how does He sustain you so that you do not die? Well, He sustains you by giving you His word, by giving you His supper, His body, and His blood that He gives you today here. And we need to recognize that because it's very easy in this world to think that something else gives us life. Something else is the life that we are driving for, aiming for, that we want. That moment of contentment and happiness that seems so good in the moment and doesn't last. That moment of contentment and happiness that we might live for. To live for the weekend, to live for the next vacation. But instead, we should desire the One who gives us life. And look to Him as the One that gives us life now and life forever. And this kind of attitude is one that we see throughout Scripture. But to illustrate, before I get into some of those Scripture passages that talk about the life that we find in Christ and is sustained by Him, let me give an illustration, an example, for how we should view our lives and our lives dependent on Christ. I remember hearing of someone who worked full-time repairing ships underwater. This was their career all their life. And all their life there was one person who pumped air to them while they worked underwater. And after retirement, the man who did that work said, "This man kept me alive. It's because of this man that I stayed alive and I had life. For all of those hours of my life that I spent underwater, working, earning a living." He realized and understood that he was dependent upon this other person to give him life. That if this stopped, if the line was cut, if the person stopped pumping, he would not have air and he would not have life. He would die. Our Lord gives us life. Our Lord sustains us. And gives us life by His word and His sacrament. And it is by our Lord, ultimately, that we stay alive. Because in Him, in Jesus Christ, is life. And in the Word of God, we see our Lord telling us that He is life. And we see others who recognize that in the Lord they have life. In John 6, Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. And after Jesus goes through this discourse and talks about the fact that he is the one who gives life, and we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, there are many people that are offended by Jesus, and they leave. And Jesus turns to his own disciples and asks if they too are going to leave. And Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." We want this to be our attitude toward our Lord as well, that there is no one else that can give us the words of eternal life, of life forever, but only our Lord. In John 10, Jesus tells us, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In John 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And then we have the example of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul goes through there and lists all of his accomplishments, all of the things that he did, which would seem or may have seemed at the time to give life, and to say, "This is the good life. This makes me good. In this is life." But then Paul concludes and says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The Apostle Paul recognizes that whatever else he had accomplished, all of the other things that seemed to say, "You have the good life, you have done well," they are all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And I am willing to lose all of those other things for the sake of Christ, to have him and the life that he gives, and to have the resurrection of my body that is given through Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This, dear Christian, is where we find life, in the one who created our lives, the Word of God, and then the one who gave us new birth in baptism, and the one who continues to sustain us as he will sustain us today with his risen, life-giving body and blood. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Many in this world will look for some fleeting moment of happiness and say, "This is the life." And we can enjoy these good things as good gifts of God here in this passing, fleeting, temporary life. But they are not the life. The life is the one given to us in the one who is the life, in Jesus Christ. In him is life, and in him we have life abundant. And it is he who comes and says to us, as he says to us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In our Lord is life and rest. From all of the busyness and the trial and the difficulty and the pain and the suffering and the death that we see around us, in him is life and him is rest forevermore. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.